This episode of 365 Days of Astronomy is sponsored by iTelescope.net, expanding your horizons in astronomy today. The premier on-demand telescope network at dark sky sites in Spain, New Mexico, and Siding Spring, Australia.
It's the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast, coming in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the NASA Lunar Science Institute podcast, which highlights the latest news and information of the moon, on the moon, and from the moon. It's produced by the NASA Lunar Science Institute at the Ames Research Center in Moffett Field, California.
Hi, this is Nancy Atkinson for the NASA Lunar Science Institute. If you've browsed the internet at any time during the past several years, you may have seen some stories about the world ending on December 21st, 2012. But NASA has been working to let people know that these are in fact just stories, myths, and hoaxes. One of the people actively participating in this effort to debunk these myths is Dr. David Morrison, who's a senior scientist at the NASA Lunar Science Institute, and he joins us today to talk about this. Hi, David, and thanks for being with us.
Hi, Nancy. Glad to be here.
So how did you as a NASA scientist get started debunking end-of-the-world prophecies?
I first learned about this strange hoax about 5 years ago when people started writing to me with questions to the NASA websites saying that they were afraid of the end of the world. And I woke up and said, what on earth is going on? And I looked on the web a little bit and found out that there were thousands of websites predicting the end of the world. There were more than 300 books listed on Amazon.com. And I'd never heard of it. And I talked to some of my scientist colleagues and they'd never heard of it. And yet here was this tremendous issue out there among people who get most of their information from YouTube and the internet that I was suddenly tapped into.
And do you have an inkling of how this all got started and why it's all converging on December 21st? I mean, not only are there stories about the world ending with the Mayan calendar ending, but there's also stories that say that there'll be a sudden pole shift or maybe a killer solar flare. And then there's stories about Planet X and Planet Nibiru and Planet Taika, any of these which will have some sort of horrible influence on Earth. It just seems like this is not your typical end-of-the-world prediction because there's just so many of them all at once.
You can look at it and say there are so many, but I look at each one of those and find that there is no core of solid information on any of them. It is entirely a fantasy. There is not a single fact there that is correct. Now, I can tease out where they came from. For instance, the idea that there is a planet Nibiru headed for the Earth comes from a psychic named Nancy Leader, who claims that she has some sort of chip in her brain and is communicated with directly by aliens, and they are warning the world through her that this planet Nibiru is coming. There's also a fellow named Zachariah Sitkin, who back in the 1970s and 80s wrote a bunch of fables about the ancient Sumerian civilization. And again, he claims that they're true, but they certainly aren't. He never even knew the Sumerian language or had any way of translating it. You can go through each of these stories and find that at core there is nothing. And yet, as you say, they build on each other, and they all come back to this date of December 21st because of the statement isn't right. Quite right either, that there is a major shift or even an ending of the Maya calendar at that point. So here is a convergence of stories from different places, none of which is factually correct, but all of them add together to produce a widespread panic among young people.
A movie came out a couple of years ago that was called 2012. How influential do you think that movie was in propagating some of these myths and fears?
It was a very popular movie. It made hundreds of millions of dollars, so a lot of people saw it. The most interesting thing to me, though, is that the movie was planned and actually in production without any reference to 2012. It was just a big disaster, end of the world movie flick. And then someone, I guess, went on the internet and said, hey, did you know that there's a rumor out there that people are afraid of 2012? So they changed the name of the movie and added that, although it really doesn't play a very central role. There is no planet Nibiru. There is no pole shift. None of these things that people are afraid of. Still, it did give that much more currency to the idea of the end of the world in 2012. Personally, I find it actually pretty easy to answer. If people ask you about it, I say, come on, do you believe a Hollywood movie is accurately telling you what's going to happen to the world? And then they laugh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so can you talk a little bit about the science behind the fallacy of some of these myths? For example, the one about, that a planet might come and knock Earth out of its orbit. Why can we be sure that that isn't happening?
We can be sure that isn't happening because if it were coming, we could see it. After all, we see the planets in our own solar system. We know that planets like Venus and Mars and Jupiter are among the brightest objects in the sky. And yet this object is supposed to be at least as big as those planets and just 2 months out from striking the Earth. Well, heck, that would be so bright you could see it in the daytime. Billions of people could be seeing it. And if you also go back in time and think of an incoming planet, it would have been tracked by astronomers for at least a decade. There's no way that 100,000 astronomers could have missed it, and there's no way 7 billion people today could miss it. So I am truly mystified how people can still claim it's coming when it's obviously invisible. The other thing that about it, of course, is that even if you could imagine a mysteriously black, invisible planet, its gravity would still affect us. And if there were an incoming planet, it would be changing the orbits of all the existing planets. We track those orbits with exquisite precision. For instance, NASA has several spacecraft in orbit around Mars and on the surface, and we're in communication every day. So we know the exact distance to Mars at all times. There has been not the whisper of a change in those orbits. So there can't be any massive object, any rogue object in the solar system.
Okay. And how about a sudden pole shift?
A pole shift. Now, that's a weird thing. We know that the magnetic polarity of the Earth changes every few hundred thousand years. So the north and south magnetic poles reverse. And it probably doesn't do any harm to anybody, and it's certainly not happening now. But that has been a standard part of Earth history. What people do is play a kind of bait and shift. They talk about the magnetic poles, and then they switch over and say, it's the rotational pole. The actual spin of the Earth is going to reverse. Well, that's impossible. It's never happened and never will. So they take a real thing, magnetic reversal, although it's not happening now, and twist it into a rotational reversal, which is impossible.
How about a killer solar flare?
Solar flares, well, that's the only legitimate part of this whole thing, because we know there are solar flares and coronal mass emissions and things that send high-energy particles toward the Earth, and these can have an effect. They can damage satellites in orbit. They produce the aurora, the northern lights that we see. And we are, in fact, coming up toward a maximum in the 11-year periodic solar activity. It just so happens it's a very weak maximum. The sun is very low in activity, in flares, and emissions compared to the average over history. And so It's silly to think that has anything to do with this 2012 business. We know the sun is up there. We keep track of its emissions. We keep track of its flares. And there's nothing special about 2012.
Okay. There are those who say that these myths are being propagated as money-making ventures, much like the movie was, where they'll tell you how to survive doomsday if you just buy their book or DVD. But this has kind of gone beyond just your average scam, as I know of at least two documented cases of young people who have committed suicide because of their fears over the world ending this year. If you had a chance to talk face-to-face to one of the people who are hawking their books or websites or videos, what would you say to them?
I think they are evil people. Consciously or unconsciously, their main effect is to frighten children. And I think it is wrong to frighten children. And I think it's a terrible thing when kids come home from school saying, my friends all told me the world's about to end, and Daddy, what can I do? What's going to happen? Or they look at these crazy shows on the History Channel and come to the same conclusion. A teacher that I know who teaches in Central California said that the parents of two of her students had come to her saying the whole family planned to commit suicide before December 21st so they would not suffer in the end of the world.
Oh, wow. This is so unfortunate that these myths and hoaxes have had an effect like this on some people. And I know that you've been answering the public's questions on this on the Ask a Scientist page on NASA's astrobiology website. So with all that you've done, and also other NASA scientists have been putting out videos and have written articles to debunk these myths, and there's also other science websites that have been working to explain the science of how these myths cannot be true. For example, I'm with Universe Today, and we have a whole series of articles that goes through the science fallacies point by point. So with all the good information that's out there, have you seen any decrease in the number of people writing in who are fearful and asking about if the world will end this December?
No, it's been a pretty steady 5 or 6 questions a day that's come to me for the last 3 years. And these are, for the most part, from people who fundamentally distrust science, distrust the government. In fact, it's kind of crazy. They will write to me at NASA and say, I know you work for the government, so you can't tell me the truth, but, and then ask their question. So it's very hard to get through to them. These are people who do not read newspapers or watch the regular TV that most of us do. They get their information from the internet, and then among the kids, of course, it just passes from person to person. So we try, of course, and I would like to think that the things I've posted and the videos I've made help. But there are a lot of people that just don't get it. And there was a recent poll that said in the United States, 1 person in 10 is worried that they will not survive past December 21st.
Well, I hope that as this date approaches, that people who have questions about this will seek out the good information and the real science that is out there. And we'll have links to NASA's astrobiology website and the videos you've made and other good resources here in the notes that go along with this podcast. So, David, as we end our podcast here today, I have to ask, what are your plans for December 22nd, 2012?
Well, Christmas is coming, and I may drink a bottle of champagne, and what I really hope is that this whole thing will be dropped. But I can't be sure of that, because so many people are so invested in it, with all their books and all their websites and all their videos, that are they going to realize that it's all been a hoax and that they've been engaged in a silly enterprise? Or are they just going to make up some new story? Oh, we were off by 1 year, and it's really going to come next year, that sort of thing. I hope I can drop the whole thing on December 22nd.
Right. I'm sure there are lots of other real scientific endeavors that you'd rather spend your time on. But David, thanks for doing this, and thanks so much for being with us today.
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about it, because it worries me. I've never dealt with anything like this before, and I hope I never have to deal with it again.
We agree. Thank you so much, David.
Bye-bye.
To find out more about this topic, visit our website at www.lunarscience.nasa.gov. Any opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of NASA or the NASA Lunar Science Institute. This podcast is produced for educational and information purposes only. On behalf of the NASA Lunar Science Institute, thanks for listening.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by Astrosphere New Media Association. Audio post-production by Preston Gibson. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this audio for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at 365daysofastronomy.org or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until tomorrow, goodbye.